talking about that.
Bully.
Okay, we'll begin. I'm told we're going to start out with Senator Higgins. I was told we're going to start out with you. So, Senator Higgins, Senate File 235.
You've been working on that for years.
I know, in the courts.
Mr. Chair, I just had a moment. Sometimes, like my mom used to do, where she'd hear it, and then it took her a while to process what was just said. And strangely enough, that just happened to me, so sorry about that.
Is there a division report? Peter?
Yes. Yes. Mr. Chairman, for Senate File 235, you'll have in your packets, I believe, both a division report and a committee engrossment, which shows the bill as it will read with the committee report amendments included in it. And then there will be an additional amendment that Senator Higgins has to the committee engrossment.
Okay. Let's start out with Senator Betzel moves adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Senator Higgins.
And then, Mr. Chair, I believe we have the A7 amendment. Nope, the A8 amendment.
Bully.
No, that's the wrong one, too. I'm sorry. Hang on a minute.
Mr. Chairman, it should be the A7 amendment. I believe it's in the packets.
Okay. Different bills. And Mr. Chair and members, these changes, this bill is the electronic waste recycling bill, and it still continues to be a bit of a work in progress. When we originally started this year, our premise was that you would sell 1 pound of electronics 1 year, and then in the next year you would be responsible to recycle 1 pound. In the last committee, we moved that to 0.8 pound, and this amendment would continue to take it down to 0.6. We want to get the right number, and so in continuing conversations, we're going to shoot at 0.6 pound. We then continue to do some more refinement of the how much is paid for when you don't meet your goals. There's a line in here saying that the commissioner must give preference to counties and private entities that are working cooperatively with manufacturers in awarding the competitive grants that we put in here. And then there's an appropriation section.
Well, Senator Higgins, do you first want to adopt the amendment? Is that what you'd like to do, or
it would make sense to do, I think, because it deals with the finances of the bill.
Okay, we've got the A7 amendment in front of us, and Senator Higgins has requested passage to put the bill in the shape in which he wishes. Any motions from members to that effect?
Also move the.
Okay, Senator Metzen moves adoption of the A7 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Higgins, where are we with the appropriations in this bill? The fiscal note calls for, it appears, some general fund dollars and.
Mr. Chair, the general fund dollars would go to the Department of Administration.
So do we assume?
And on page 9 of the fiscal note, it talks about why they have added this amount to the bill. And they're saying that it costs $23,000 or $30,000, whatever it is, to add boilerplate language to documents and contracts, assuring due process and rebidding contracts that may be voided under these new standards. Frankly, I think that $23,000 for writing boilerplate, the concept of boilerplate is that you write it once and then you cut and paste. And so I kind of frankly don't understand why they think they should have all that money to do what isn't very much.
Mr. Chairman?
And it should come from the registration fee that the manufacturers would pay. So
what's what I'm trying to, Mr. Watson?
Mr. Chairman, if you look on the A7 amendment on lines 1.13 and 1.14, you've added language that takes that fee money and appropriates it for transfer to the Commissioner of Administration to carry out those responsibilities that Senator Higgins was just talking about. So whether $23,000 is too much or too little, it would be paid for out of those fees and not out of the general fund.
All right, then Senator Higgins, then
what department
you've got a and the fees established at what?
From revenue to administration.
Am I reading this correctly? $5,000?
The first year it would be $5,000, and that after that it would be cut in half to $2,500.
Okay. So irrespective of how much the fee raises, the language you've got anticipates then that the fee is going to cover whatever those departmental costs are.
Yes.
Okay, so there's not going to be any general fund appropriation. There's no general fund appropriation requested.
That's right, and as a result of the A7 amendment that you have adopted.
Okay. Now, this bill was heard in division. What was this in Senator Anderson's division, or?
Yes, Senator
okay.
Anderson's division.
So I assume they heard testimony, but did you wish to have a couple minutes of testimony, or what?
Mr. Chair, I know that you have a busy schedule, so I mean, we could go through the whole thing, but I think everybody who's here has voted on this at least four times in the past 4 years. So, well, you know, it's an update from this year. It's very similar to last year with updated provisions for the financing, and so it's up to you if you want to hear about it. We can surely do that. But
I think we should have at least a couple minutes, from yourself.
Yeah, go right ahead. Mr. Chairman, my name is Trudy Richter with the Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board, members of the committee. Senator Higgins has asked me to just briefly explain the bill. We've been working as counties and other retailers and manufacturers, certain manufacturers at least, on trying to develop a product stewardship bill here in Minnesota for cathode ray tubes. Those are the CRTs or tubes that are in your televisions and in your computer monitors. They contain heavy metals. TVs can have up to 8 pounds of lead. They contain other heavy metals such as nickel, cadmium, etc., and they need special management. Last year, a ban went into place. They may no longer enter the waste stream. They can no longer go to our landfills or to our waste energy facilities here in the state of Minnesota. Unfortunately, we were unable last year to put in a program for management, and it has fallen largely upon the shoulders of counties without any funds then to manage these materials. We found many in ditches. I know all of you have received a copy of a 100% response from solid waste officers around the state, giving anecdotal information of what has happened in the last 6 months in terms of people attempting to dispose of these computer monitors and televisions. This bill then allows for manufacturers to assist and share in this responsibility, as well as retailers, as well as counties and collectors. It sets a registration fee for manufacturers, and then it sets a fee that in the event the manufacturer, with its own free choice, chooses not to participate in recycling, they can pay a fee per pound to meet their obligation. The closer they get through their participation and working with the private sector and the public sector in recycling these components, the less that fee will be based upon the A7 amendment. And I hope that's enough of an overview. We're certainly here to answer any questions individuals have related to this.
Mr. Chair, the money that comes in would help mostly rural counties, but counties that don't have a system of collection of e-waste, to put a system together. And in fact, we even weight this heavily for the rural communities, and in doing so, we make a pound of e-waste count as a pound and a half when it is collected outside the metro area. And you know, most of the metro counties are pretty well organized when it comes to collecting e-waste in one way or another. It might be like Hennepin and Minneapolis do, where you can just put it out with your trash and it goes away to Project for Pride and Living to get recycled. And other counties rely on private industry to do that. But we know that in the rural communities it's not so easy to get that system put together. And so the money that we collect from the fees that are paid will mostly go out as grants to those communities.
Questions from the committee? Session? Senator Pappas?
Mr. Chairman, if there is no discussion, I would move that Senate File 235 as amended be... Oh, somebody wants to talk. Judy does.
Yeah.
In favor of.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Judy Cook with Cook Hill Girard Associates, today representing Hewlett Packard. I was not aware you were taking testimony today. I'll just give a few quick comments. You received a letter from the EIA, which is the Electronic Industries Alliance. All of the manufacturers, computer and TV manufacturers who have the responsibility under this legislation, the majority of the responsibility under this legislation, are opposed to it. In terms of the fiscal impact, I would really like to draw your attention. In the fiscal note, it mentions that the variable fee, I believe this fiscal note would mention that the variable fee could be up to $20 million. The manufacturers have estimated that it could range anywhere from $6.9 million to $21 million, and I will explain the variable fee. Basically, the way this variable fee works is it is based on the difference between what this bill contemplates consumers will bring back in terms of used electronics and how much is actually brought back. If people do not bring enough material back, the manufacturers are charged at a rate of anywhere between 30 cents and 50 cents per pound. So this is a fee on something that doesn't exist because people haven't brought it back. So the manufacturers could have spent in the neighborhood of $5 to $6 million recycling all the used electronics that consumers bring back. And if people don't bring enough product back that this bill contemplates, which we believe is far in excess of what people will bring back, newspaper article today, the PCA said that they right now were collecting 14 million pounds of all electronics, exceeding the products that are covered here. I think they're estimating now that we would have to bring back in the neighborhood of 28 million pounds based on the numbers that they have presented in terms of how many pounds of products sold. We are talking about significant dollars, and I think even the fiscal note acknowledges that. And I would like to draw your attention as the Finance Committee to that. I know that the supporters of the bill honestly believe that people will bring enough back. Manufacturers have asked for something in the legislation that would either provide a refund or at least say that you can't get charged for the stuff people don't bring back, and that has not happened. So the potential exists in this legislation for millions of dollars in the variable fee to come in, and there is nothing in the bill that suggests that it would be adjusted automatically. So I just wanted to draw your attention to that and let you know that all of the manufacturers who are impacted by this, other than retailers who may also private label, but the manufacturers who make computers and TVs are all opposed if they have responsibility under this legislation. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions,
Mr. Chairman, may I respond?
Yes.
To Ms. Cook? Chairman, members of the committee, we have worked very hard to develop a bill that is sensitive to the manufacturer's concern that we have set the wrong amount. We originally started with 1-for-1. We reduced it to 0.8, and now it's been reduced to 0.6. We've helped the manufacturers out as well because anybody outside of the metropolitan area gets to count 1.5 times the poundage. We've also reduced the fee. We originally had a flat fee, and this is only paid if they're unable to recycle the amount of computers and televisions that are out there. We know there's a tremendous amount in basements, and there's a tremendous demand at this point in time. And by modifying the fee, what we've acknowledged is that given their best efforts, they may not quite make the 100%, and if they get to 90% of their goal, they only have to pay 30 cents on the remainder. And I believe the fiscal note says $12 to $14 million, and that would only occur if every single manufacturer in the state chose not to participate and instead just paid in the amount. Those are the estimates I was informed by the Pollution Control Agency this morning. As part of our group of counties working on this, we have also had manufacturers that support us. We have Best Buy, we have IBM. We do have manufacturers that are supportive of this product stewardship approach to our environment.
And Ms. Cook, I guess that was kind of my question or what I was wondering about. It seems to me your testimony, and I understand the concern of taking to a conclusion that seems to be somewhat apart from what the expectations might be. It isn't the expectation, as I understand this, and mostly I'm reading the fiscal note, isn't the expectation as such that it should be covered by a more reasonable fee, that there won't be the tens of millions of dollars where you would need participation by everybody at a fairly high range?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the experience of, for example, Hewlett-Packard, who is about to recycle their billionth pound of used electronics, what we've seen in other states is in the neighborhood of roughly 3 to 3.5 pounds. I think that may be consistent to what Hennepin County saw last year. Both Maine and California already have programs in place. If you use the PCA information, and I wasn't going to trouble you with all the details, but the 2004 estimated sales in Minnesota in 2004 of covered electronics was $48.5 million. 80% of that, if you look at the second program year, it goes up to 0.8. That's 38.8 million pounds is the goal. At 3.5 pounds per person, which is the average we're seeing in other states, at a population of 5.3 million, that's 8.5 million pounds collected. That's a difference of 20.3 million pounds. So at a rate of 30 cents or 50 cents, even if you take into the rural differential, what you're seeing is millions of dollars in a penalty. And as we said, we really don't see anything that would indicate that people will bring back as much as the supporters of the legislation are indicating. And if they're right, then it wouldn't be a problem to say that if they're wrong, the fee doesn't go into effect for products that people don't bring back. The manufacturers are objecting to the fact that we're going to be imposed a fee on product that people don't bring back. It's product that arguably doesn't exist in the form that's contemplated in this legislation. And so, I mean, I have more numbers, but the reality is using the PCA numbers, we can't come to any other conclusion, and it's nice for the proponents to have a guess that people will bring enough back. We don't believe that's the case based on our experience in other states.
Mr. Chair.
Sarah Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I have the bill puts in place a provision that if the estimated pound amount is incorrect or the fee is incorrect, that the Pollution Control Agency would come back to us to recommend a different amount. In addition, we allow the collection and use of electronic devices that are not included in calculating how much should be recycled to be counted in how much a manufacturer collects. So in the definitions, we state what a covered electronic device is. But in addition to those items, it can also, the manufacturers can also use VCRs and
printers.
Keyboards and printers and all those kinds of things that are not considered, that are not counted in the amount that comes in. So we think that we've got a good basis to go forward, and we would like your support for this bill.
Okay. Further questions or discussion on the part of the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pariseau.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to figure out if there is an estimated total that, Senator Higgins, that you would estimate would come in on the registration fees for all manufacturers. I'm thinking that I see you have kind of a formula there, but I don't know if you mentioned what you expect as revenue from that registration fee to start out with, let alone the other things that are in the bill. I suppose the fiscal note is what I should be addressing here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Pariseau, our experience that we've gleaned from Maine and other locations is that there will be approximately 160 manufacturers that will be registering. In the initial year, that would be times 5,000. In subsequent years, times 2,500.
Is there, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry if I missed your name.
Trudy Richter.
Mr. Richter, is this a mandate on all manufacturers, manufacturers of all products being sold in the state, or is it a voluntary? Do they come in and sign up, or is it mandatory?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pariseau, any manufacturer that sells to households in the state must register.
So it's a manufacturer and not a retailer?
The retailers are obligated to register as well and provide information to manufacturers that they can rely upon as to the amount of sales.
They don't register?
I'm sorry. They don't register. Retailers,
the manufacturer is reported to by its retailers.
Yes.
And that's how the numbers are figured. Thank you. I know I have more questions as soon as I listen a little longer.
Further discussion on the part of committee members.
Mr. Chairman, do we have any idea how many millions of dollars will come in off this?
Well, when I heard talk about
After I see that there are some either escalations in the fees as well or...
Mr. Chair, Higgins. Senator Pariseau, the registration fees for the first year would be $800,000 and half that then for years after that.
Subsequent. Thank you.
Mr. Mossman.
Mr. Chair, members, and Senator Pariseau, it is laid out, if you look at the front of the fiscal note, the very first page, that line labeled for revenues there under the environmental fund, that $800,000 in fiscal 08 is from the estimate of 160 entities paying the $5,000 registration fee in the first year, and then the annual registration fee drops to $2,500 in years subsequent to that. And so the estimated annual registration fees drop to $400,000 a year.
And Mr. Chairman,
Senator Pariseau,
anybody who would like to answer, has there been any consideration of the drop-off of revenue? First of all, this is going to be passed on how? To the actual purchaser of anything that's sold by this manufacturer or retailer. And so is there any estimate of how much you would drop off by people's unwillingness to continue to escalate the fees or to continue to be subject to the fees? Why would people continue to buy the kinds of things that you're charging them more for now than they were in the past? It seems to me like a disincentive when you put those fees on it.
Got his haircut too.
Well, to update.
Do you have any idea what she's asking? Mr. Chair,
Senator Pariseau? Are you trying to just make fun of me?
No, it's
Senator Pariseau or Senator Higgins?
This isn't a fee being put on the product. I firmly believe that manufacturers already put something into their price for all of the life of the computer, including the end of the life of the computer. So,
how can we be so?
This is not a fee that's put. This is a fee that's put on the manufacturers. It's not put on. Put on the retail customer. So,
I'm afraid the retail customer eventually pays for everything, starting from the manufacturer all the way on down.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Pariseau, they already are.
Right, but it'll continue to escalate by the fees that are now going to be charged compared to before. Excuse me for talking out of line. I wasn't recognized by the chair. It's my humble opinion.
I'm not sure I was either. I have Senator Pariseau, Mr. Chair. So.
All right, further discussion. Senator Mossman, or Mr. Mossman, or Mr. Watson, you would.
Mr. Chair and members, I was just looking at the language of the bill and identified on version, the committee engrossment one on line 7.8, so page 7, line 8, refers to the fees established under subdivision 2, and that should be the fees established under subdivision 1. So the amendment would be on page 7, line 8, delete 1, or delete 2 and insert 1.
Okay. Senator Metzen moves adoption of that change. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
I've heard this a few times, and I think it's about time to pass this legislation, so I'll move that Senate File 235 be recommended to pass.
Okay. Senator Metzen moves that Senate File 235 as amended be recommended to pass. Further discussion on the motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Senator Higgins, you have a couple other bills. Did you want to? I don't see Senator Marty's.
I've got a couple of elections bills. And I'd like to suggest that you not adopt the report from the State Government Budget Division. And instead adopt the A8 amendment. There were some items that got taken out in the State Government Budget Division. Some of those were taken out in error. Others were, by this amendment, the A8 amendment, are amended to not cost money, or they would be small enough that the Secretary of State's office can absorb them. So we have the A8 amendment that I'd encourage you to have.
Mr. Chair, I believe we're talking about Senate File 1298,
yeah.
Are we?
Is that?
Sorry, that's right.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, we relied upon, as I recall, the Secretary of State's office to help identify which items had budget impacts and which ones did not. And so the budget division report reflected those because of the targets that we were given. We just did not want to forward anything that we could not afford. If there's been a rework of it, then that obviously would be a change from the information that was provided to the State Government Budget Division. I think perhaps we need some additional information provided here at the Finance Committee that was not provided to the State Government Budget Division then. So,
yeah, I'm a little bit concerned, Senator Higgins, as I look this over, if we're going to rework in total, and we can certainly do that in the full committee, but if we're going to rework in total the work of a finance division, we need to be a little bit careful about that. And so if the A8 amendment to 1298 is a reworking of what the division's done, I don't know if Ms. Fraser, if you want to offer some support for that, or Senator Higgins, if you have a response to Senator Bretzold.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think the A8 amendment looks worse than it probably is, because we're also incorporating items from Senate File 954, and that was a bill that was recommended to pass by the Budget Division, and so it looks bigger and worse than it is. But
that makes me feel secure. But now that bill's on the agenda as well. So was that bill not to be on the agenda?
Mr. Chair, when we combine it into this, then we can just have one bill, and 1298 can go forward, and 954 can.
Okay. And were both bills in the division?
Both bills are in finance.
No, were they both in the division?
Division.
Is that right, Senator Bretzold?
Both bills have gone through division.
I believe, in fact, you have a division report for Senate 954 in your packet that I signed dated March 19th. So that bill was processed and forwarded to the Finance Committee, recommended for the Finance Committee. And then I have a division report that was dated March 12th that was also for 1298. So both bills were heard in the Budget Division. I think that it's probably appropriate to put Senate File 954 on the agenda simply so that to give notice that bill, at least the contents of that bill, were going to be considered if they're going to be rolled into 1298. But as I say, it does raise a couple of questions, because Mr. Watson's memo has suggested we should not adopt the Budget Division report, and I guess I'm curious and would like the further information as to what has changed between the Budget Division and here so that we need to look at that. Or maybe we should just send everything back and have the Budget Division have another hearing so we can figure out what's going on. So.
And certainly I don't think you should blame Mr. Watson.
No. I'm not. Mr. Watson is suggesting what the options are given the changes. I'm asking what the changes are because something's changed between then and now, and this is the first I've known about them.
Well, okay. Senator Higgins, do you want to help us?
In Senate File 1298, we're going to delete Sections 1 and 2. We're going to reinstate four of the seven sections that were deleted by the State Government Budget Division and amend two of those reinstated sections to eliminate their costs. You can see that on the A8 amendment, line 1.3 to 1.5. The bill originally set out that the Secretary of State would maintain a website so you could register to vote online. Now we make it permissive, so if they can figure out how to do it within their budget constraints, they can do that. And then the fourth item is adding the three sections of Senate File 954 that were recommended by the Budget Division to pass and putting them in 1298.
Mr. Chair?
Ms. Fraser?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Beth Fraser, the Director of Governmental Affairs for the Secretary of State's office. If I may quickly explain why some of the items we're recommending putting back into the bill. Two of the sections have to do with the Help America Vote Act complaint procedure, which we're required to have under federal law. It was taken out in division because there is a fiscal impact. It will cost about $3,000 to process the complaints. However, it will process. We will need to process the complaints under either the current process or the replaced process. So it's a cost that we will need to absorb either way. And so the net effect is zero on our budget. And so given that, we're recommending improving the process by replacing it with the process included in the bill. Section 41 was deleted. It was a section with two subdivisions. One of the subdivisions had a cost. The other subdivision did not. So we're recommending just reinserting the first subdivision, which does not have a cost. And as Senator Higgins explained, reinserting the sections related to online voter registration, which, if it's permissive instead of directive, we would not need to incur the cost unless we can come up with the funds to do so.
Well, maybe I could ask then, so why were these provisions taken out in the division?
Mr. Chair, because the Secretary of State was looking for money that we didn't have. We couldn't afford any of it. For instance, they wanted money to do a website, and we said there was no funds to do that. So we said if we can't pay for it, it's coming out of the bill. We forwarded to the Finance Committee those things that we felt were budget neutral or of no cost. I guess it's better that these issues have been found away, but it, frankly, for all the time that the Secretary of State's office spent working trying to find money for us, if they would have worked to find ways to make more budget neutral, we would have had the bill here in better shape from the Budget Division.
Well, let me ask, in review of the A8 amendment, let me just ask Mr. Mossman to comment on the fiscal note and your understanding of where things have gone from division to the full committee.
Mr. Chair and members, I did request a revised fiscal note this afternoon to reflect the A8 amendment, and it has been distributed. The Secretary of State's office did respond with a fiscal note that shows that the fiscal implications have been removed from the bill, minus a minor provision that they cost they will assume in fiscal 09. And my understanding of how that has been arrived at is that there were some provisions related to the university population that had been previously removed from the bill, and that those costs are still no longer in this bill. And that the Help America Vote changes, the programming changes, will be absorbed by the agency. So it is my understanding that there are no costs related to the bill at this time, there were some provisions, obviously, that had costs when they were taken out in division, as Senator Betzel has testified to.
Okay. Well, we have in front of us initially the A8 amendment. And Senator Higgins, you've requested that be the amendment to be used with 1298. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Does anybody wish to do anything on that amendment? Senator Pappas?
Madam Chair, I'd move the A8 amendment.
Okay, Senator Pappas?
Madam Chair, excuse me, Mr. Chair.
It's okay. It's okay. I called Mr. Mossman Senator Mossman. Is there further discussion on the A8 amendment? Okay, if not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, then we have Senate File 1298 as amended in front of us. Is there discussion on that bill?
Mr. Chair.
Chair Betzel.
Ms. Fraser, is the Secretary of State's office done?
Mr. Chair, Senator Betzold, yes.
So between now and conference committees, we're not going to have any more new initiatives, any more things that have to get done?
Mr. Chair, Senator Betzold, no.
Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on Senate File 1298.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
I would move that Senate File 1298 as amended be recommended to pass.
Okay, is there further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and then, Senator Higgins, I then take it we will strike Senate File 954 from the agenda.
Yes, please.
Is that correct? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And we have Senator Marty. Good timing, Senator Marty. Senate File 184.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate File 184 is about half left. The first half of it was included in Senator Berglund's omnibus budget bill. The remaining half, sections 1, 3, and 5, are not fiscal items, not budget items, so they are here to go on their own. And the bill is designed to assist family planning clinics. That number of them that the representative here from Family Tree in St. Paul are struggling very much to keep their doors open in providing family planning services for low-income people. And this bill will help in three ways, this language. The first of which would be to allow a registered nurse to dispense, not prescribe, but to dispense oral contraceptives have been prescribed by a doctor under the clinic, and they would have to do it under the dispensing protocol of the doctor and the clinic. The second, and that's a big problem in a lot of greater Minnesota communities where getting an advanced practice nurse to be available for this is very difficult and costs more. The second section, section 3 of the bill, would allow community clinics to become governmental units for purposes of participating in the prescription, the multi-state contracting pool, which for a lot of prescriptions could be 50% reduction in the costs they pay. And again, because we are paying a lot of the costs of these clinics, it's our best interest to make sure they're getting their prescriptions at the lowest possible cost. In section 5 of the bill, which would now be third section, would require a Commissioner of Human Services to work with the clinics to adjust MA rates to try and address the cost of doing business. Happy to stand for questions. I have several people here who would be glad to testify if you want testimony, but I think they believe you're probably more interested in asking questions.
Mr. Chair, we have Senator Berglund. I'll move the division report.
Okay. We have Senator Betzel moving adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Mossman?
Mr. Chair and members, you'll see from the fiscal note that is in the packets is the fiscal note as the bill was before the division. And if obviously you can see from the fiscal note that there were budget implications assumed to be the case at that time. And It refers to the sections for which their fiscal notes, for the, which the fiscal estimate is based on, Section 2 in particular, 4, and then Section 6 at the time was an appropriation section. And if you look at the division report deleted Sections 2, 4, and 6, and the omnibus bill, the Health and Human Services omnibus bill, dealt with those provisions. So what you should have before you are the provisions that do not no longer have fiscal implications, but only policy implications. The one section that there is discussed in the fiscal note is Section 5, which is the provision that asks the commissioner to work with family planning clinics to adjust MA rates. But further legislative action would need to occur to actually put a rate change in place. So at this point, the legislation that's before you today wouldn't actually change those rates, and so doesn't have a fiscal impact at this time.
So, Senator Marty, is this, you're asking that this be sent to the floor. Is it your intent to take this up on the general orders calendar then?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
And so you've worked with this, you've worked with Senator Berglund in terms of tracking the money versus these policy changes.
Again, I believe she took some significant portions of the other three sections and put them in her bill. So again, her bill has the language and the policy, both are in her bill as necessary, but these three were non-financial issues.
Okay. Further questions on Senate File 184? Anybody wish? Senator Fredrickson.
I'll move the Senate File 184. Is it? Yeah, Senate File 184, and did we amend it?
Yeah, we have Senator Fredrickson's motion that Senate File 184 be recommended to pass. Is there further discussion? As amended by the division report. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you, Senator Marty. And then Senator Roebling, Senate File 1981. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Senate File 1981 actually establishes an account for the money that is coming in through rent payments to the Elmer Anderson and Ormel Freeman buildings, and then allows the commissioner to appropriate that money as needed for repairs and replacements on the building itself. Right now, the money is coming in and not specifically specified, and it has been advised that they have a separate account that would help us keep that segregated and make sure that the money is going to the appropriate place and that the account is established. And I have with me today Carrie Suki from the Department of Administration, who could probably explain it a little better.
Mr. Chairman,
before
hear from her, I see we have an A4 amendment in our packet that
That's
has Senator
correct.
Roebling's name on it. I was curious if she wanted that moved.
I would like that adopted as
an
assume
that's to delete everything
place.
Amendment.
And Mr. Chairman, I'd move the A4 amendment.
And before we vote on that, Senator Betzold, have you worked on this at all? Or?
Well, this is not a bill that came before the Budget Division. I think this is being heard originally in the Finance Committee now. I don't recall this.
This is the first stop. It was a late introduction.
Is that what? Okay.
I believe that it was something that administration wanted to do, and it didn't get the bill jacketed earlier, and so we missed Senator Betzold's committee.
There are no funds.
It is pretty much a policy decision of setting up a specific account and allowing the commissioner to appropriate those funds then as needed for repairs and maintenance.
No, I still understand that, and we'll adopt the A4 amendment. I just wanted to check with Senator Betzold. I know when I chaired State Departments, this is an issue that's been around for a period of time, and I think, Senator Betzold, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Lundeen had joined in some concern relative to trying to take some action on this, but I just wondered what, you know, what you had done.
I have not talked to the fiscal analyst about it. Maybe Mr. Mossman might have some additional information on that as to what the thinking was there.
Mr. Mossman, is there anything?
Mr. Chair and members, this is a provision, obviously, just that it alters, if you look at the relevant languages on the page 2 of the bill, that just establishes a segregated account for funding the future building repairs at these two buildings, rather than so that the funding basically can be more easily tracked and be recognized in budget documents in the future.
And Mr. Chair, that strikes me as a good thing if we could track it better. So.
Yeah, I think that's obviously what the purpose is. Senator Fredrickson?
And Mr. Chairman, I was recalling how the financing for these buildings progressed. And look on page 2, lines 9.
Mr. Chair, do you want me to explain what happened with that?
Chairman Senator Roebling, I think I can remember, but if you have a written documentation of how we funded those buildings, I would be interested in hearing it. I remember it was rather unique.
Mr. Chair, they were funded through the St. Paul Port Authority.
Yes.
And then the idea is that we are paying rent money to them, and that actually effectively pays off the bonds. And in 2027, which is 20 years from now, they will sell back the buildings to the state for $1 each. And in the meantime, though, we have the maintenance contract on them ourselves, and so we have to have an account in some way to be responsible for this. And since it is 20 years, we decided that this was probably the best way to put it into law and take care of it. However, Mr. Lundin did suggest the language for the amendment, and so we do have the language that says that when the state acquires the title, the account for the building is abolished, and then we go back to the usual practice of how we do things.
All right. We have Senator Ferguson's motion to adopt the Delete Everything Amendment at the request of the author, and again, this is the Committee of Origins, so it would be in order. Is there further discussion on that amendment? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. And we've had a discussion. Did you want to offer a little bit of testimony about?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I think everything's been covered.
Mr. Chair, there's no fiscal cost to the bill. You know, the lease payments have all been set up already. That's all taken care of. And there's a fiscal note that you may have seen. It's not showing anything. It does give some background information, however.
Such a complicated bill.
Okay, Chairman, I would move that Senate File 1981 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the floor.
Okay, we have Senator Fredrickson's motion in front of us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Roebling.
Chairman, just a
Senator Metzen?
Comment. This is fine, but
how come it came so late? I mean, this is something we should know about, or the department should know about, that they need, you know, like 2-3 months ago, I believe. But
Mr. Chair.
Oh, we got the first
coming up. Yeah, this is normally, I would argue, that this is truly something Senator Betzel should see, and you know, there's no, technically no money, but there is money flowing from one account. Anyway, that the process is.
I voted for it, but I just think that we should know about this like 3 months ago, because you guys should have known about it.
Well, Mr. Rhodes.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jim Rhodes, Department of Administration, we had them all in time. The process between the time it got to the revisor, to the governor, and out, and then got distributed to members, I'm very cognizant about the system of making sure that the majority leader assigns the bills to authors rather than trying to do an end around and come and say we want you to carry the bill. So we sent it to them, and all this, everything kept going back and forth. We had a couple of them that did delay, but we made every attempt to get them in on time.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Watson.
There's actually more to this story.
Well, I'm sorry. Might be sorry I brought it up.
The language to do this was originally drafted in February or March of 2006, but it didn't float its way into the legislature until Mr. Rhodes was coming around in May of 06, trying to get language like this included in a conference report. And most of the language that you see before you was what we had worked out in a couple of weeks in May to try to put into a conference report. It didn't make it ultimately into the conference report, so it carried over until 2007. Now, why that language that was more or less finalized in May of 06 didn't float back into introductions until March or April of 07?
Probably a couple days ago.
Yeah.
February 26th.
Anyway, all right. It's all right, but Mr. Chairman, but I think, you know, if you get into where we're starting to rent, when we rent buildings and we capture that lease money and this and that, I think certain committees should hear it.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Betzel, do you think we might be able to get the Port Authority to do the remodeling on the Capitol? Pay them. Yeah.
It's a thought.
Nobody else will.
We leasing
might
payments.
Well. Might as well try.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, hey. Senator Pappas, it might require financing a parking ramp down by the River Center, too.
We could make it all one big bill.
One big package.
We need some stuff at Denver Grove Heights. So.
Could be one
huge
right.
package.
On that excellent note from Senator Frederickson, we have... We're meeting, what, next week?
You need something to object.
Did you vote on the bill?
Just the amendment.
No, we voted on the bill. Senator Ferguson. So we've got a meeting next week, and obviously there's no deadline for the Finance or the Tax Committee, so we have other bills in the committee. We're going to hear the my big housing bill at some point, and we have a number of other bills, and I think and the divisions still might have some bills they're hearing. So
Pay equity
will be on the list soon. Senator Pappas's bill. So we'll work with the majority leader relative to floor sessions and obviously around conference committees, but we will have several more meetings. So, but at least today we'll adjourn.